Okay, so if everything works out, we will be releasing this on Valentine's Day. Let's hope so. And if you're anything like me and Corey, you're alone. Petey has a wife.
I'm never alone. Hey,
I'm happily married. I am happily married.
Yeah.
Usually happily.
But no, I mean, you can be with someone and still be lonely, you know?
True. Yeah, of course.
We're not talking about Petey if his wife is watching, but
hey, we don't want to start any trouble there.
But more so, we think this, the subject of loneliness and the loneliness epidemic, as people are calling it, is going to be very, you know, very relevant come Valentine's Day for all the people who maybe don't have a date or someone to celebrate with, you know. I'll be here in Atlantic City, you know, so...
So if anybody wants to meet Connor,
I don't know. It sounds like an invitation, but anyway. So I don't know. I don't know how specifically your clients go into the subject of loneliness, or how much your expertise leads into that. But it just feels like something that it affects everybody in different ways.
Mm-hmm. I think anybody in mental health has patients that deal with loneliness.
So is that a symptom people usually say, or is it usually something else? Do they say?
Some people say it, and some people it just. As you get to know their story, you realize that they're alone a lot, that they, but it's more than that. They're lacking close relationships. Even if they have relationships, they're lacking close relationships. Mm-hmm. And they feel apart. They feel distant from people or shut off from people or like they don't connect well. If you're feeling cut off from society, that doesn't mean you don't have a group of people that you feel close to. Mm-hmm. But you maybe just don't agree with the broad beliefs of a societal group.
Yeah.
Right. So you feel like I'm not part of that, but I do have my people.
I think
what we're talking about is when you don't have your people, you don't
I think what you're defining is the MAGA group.
Well, we were just talking about how incels.
Yeah. Start talking about MAGA. Like, start talking about incels.
We're talking with incels where it's like all these people who might feel like bitter and alone. And it's like, if anything, it's like, you know, we should be trying to bring them in, but they like are attacking you. So it doesn't make you want to bring them in, but it's like they're just exacerbating the situation by not trying to forge connections.
With so many people, their defensiveness or their self-protectiveness comes across as aggression or hostility or disinterest, you know, and really they may be very lonely.
Yeah.
But they don't. They're afraid to engage, or they don't understand how to engage.
They've been hurt by people, so they have a guard up.
So is that like when they're kind of too afraid to admit that they're lonely?
Yeah, I think they would be because they're defending, right?
Yeah.
So and they're defending, like maybe you're trying to befriend them. Or you're hitting on her. Yeah. Or whatever the situation is.
Is this a woman incel? I didn't know those were real.
It's real. Yeah. So maybe they're defending against you because whatever it is. Something about you is triggering to them. Yeah. Or the whole situation is uncomfortable to them. Or they don't trust it. Or they have low self-esteem and they're thinking like, what's this person really want? Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's so diverse, the reasons behind it. It's hard to know exactly what somebody's doing.
Yeah. Right. Their intentions.
Right. Or the reasons behind it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Just in talking about that sense of community, though, whether it's like college or whether it's in like the military, we don't really seem to have outside of these organizations like a regular sense of community outside of like your job or your church or something like that.
And I think it's missing in our culture more than ever before.
Well, it's finding its place online, but, you know, that doesn't really. I don't know. It's hard. I don't want to write off stuff. Oh, it's digital, so it's not real. But it's like...
I think it's different.
It's just different.
It is different.
It's different.
But you have
first of all, I think that we need physical touch from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're not going to get that. You know, you may have heard of failure to thrive babies. If they're not getting physical touch, they stop eating and they stop growing and they eventually will die.
It's crazy.
You know, or just, you know, never really... are healthy, right? Yeah. So there's something about the human touch that's so important. So if all of your communications are online or by phone or, you know, something along those lines, then you're never getting that human touch and you're going to fail to thrive in a way. Like that's a huge part of being human. Yeah. We're pack animals.
Yeah.
We truly are. So once in a while you'll meet a lone wolf, but for the most part, people, it's their safety in numbers, but we also like to be in groups. We like to be around each other. If you doubt that, drive on the highway and watch. Yeah. There'll be big spaces of no cars, and then everybody's all driving together.
Clumped together. But do you think with the you know, online relationships and online friendships, is there a way for it to ever be as fulfilling as in person? Because I feel like right now, people, you know, I was talking to my buddy who has a kid, and they're like, you know, it's to me, it sounds like there's more FOMO about missing out on something online than going to the park and playing with people. Like, you know what that is. I don't have FOMO about going to the park, but what if I'm away from my phone and I miss the message from, or like, what about this? So is there a way?
You can't take your phone to the park.
You can't take your
phone to the park. I'm pretty sure they
do. Yeah. But it's like,
but you're going to miss out on like that Fortnite mission that everybody's going to go or on, so, or whatever. Yeah, or
like,
is.
What message am I getting right now? Like, you feel right, more FOMO not being near your phone than not being at the social event almost.
I don't know.
I've heard that a lot from people that are from the younger generation, that they get more concerned about what's being transmitted on their phone than if they miss out on a social event that all their friends are going to be at.
That troubles me to hear that. I don't hear that in my career, but it troubles me to think that it's almost like an addiction to what's happening on the internet. There's a lot of fake on the internet, right? We all know that. And yet that became somehow more important than the real people in your life.
Well,
that,
the scale
that almost, concerns me.
The scale
to
seems
hear that.
Bigger because online feels infinite and it feels like endless possibilities. Mm. But you view your own life as very small and finite. So it's like, if anything, there is more potential online.
That's an interesting aspect to that, because when you feel really small and unimportant, like, that's a piece of depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a piece of loneliness. I mean, if you feel like you're a sand, you know, a little grain of sand in a huge beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though you're surrounded by sand, you feel really lonely and really, you know, separate and unimportant. I think it's the unimportant part of that.
Yeah.
And that's so powerful.
And that feeds into the loneliness, and it's people who feel insignificant, probably comparison envy online, and this endless things to compare themselves to, and that's only going to drive them to feel smaller about themselves, and then which, if you feel small, you're going to feel alone. And I also feel like the longer people go without feeling a sense of community or feeling alone, the harder it gets to then, you know,
I would, like, think so,
yeah, where it's like
it feels more alien,
even if you're like, okay, like, to I hate that I feel lonely, but I need to be a part of a community, but now I'm used to being lonely, so I don't even really want to be a part of a community, but I don't want to be lonely either. You know what I mean?
And that was a big thing during COVID. Mm-hmm. There were so many people who lived alone, who as soon as they said lockdown, they were instantly isolated from everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
And they turned into some curmudgeon hermit personality.
That's a good subject. What's the effects of loneliness? What are, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something. Like, COVID was really awful for people that didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
And being locked down is not good for any of us. We know that. I think too, the longer you're lonely, the harder it is to put yourself out there. Just like any kind of anxiety that you might have. The longer you avoid something, the bigger the anxiety gets.
Builds and builds and builds.
Right.
Yeah.
Anxiety feeds itself.
Yeah.
And it grows stronger.
Yeah.
So so what you have to do is challenge it, right?
Yeah.
So you join a club of some sort, or you go to social places and talk to a stranger.
Yeah.
And then you get more comfortable. I'll talk to anybody, but I mean, I'm kind of, that's what I do, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're ever in line with me at the grocery store, I will make fun of you. That's just what I do. In a nice, gentle, teasing way.
Yeah,
you know, really?
Out
you need
loud
that much
or in your
water?
Head?
No, I say it.
Okay, good.
I talk to the person and I'll say things like, you know how you always have that person in front of you and their whole cart is water
because
it's on sale or something?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, you must be so thirsty. Like, I'll say things like that to people and they just look at me like I'm out of this world. But
Like you're talking to a stranger in public. Yeah.
Right.
It's so crazy.
Right.
But it's like that person would probably feel fine leaving a comment on find it more normal to leave a comment on a stranger's post online.
Yeah.
Right, but they won't say it. And I'll just say it.
They won't say anything in person.
And that, like, I just, Because it's funny to me, so I figure it's funny to everybody.
Yeah, why not? I feel like talking about the effects of loneliness, like loneliness, I think, makes people way more delusional because you don't have other people to contextualize your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so if you're like lonely and then like you're saying it just builds in your head and builds in your head and you're thinking all these thoughts and there's no one to tell you.
You're wrong.
And then boom, that just gets cemented and now you're going out into the world. It's like the more you talk to people, the more you actually get like a sense of reality outside of your head.
You get a balance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we are not good in our own thoughts.
No.
If that's all we have.
Would that be considered psychosis at that point? Or is that just like...
Well, psychosis is like really losing your touch with reality. So that would be... Like, I don't know anybody that was so lonely they become psychotic. Usually it's the other way around. You're psychotic and then people start avoiding you. You're strange. And you say weird things and you make them nervous.
Yeah.
So. I wonder. Yeah, that does sound... I mean, that sounds scary. Like, that's like the worst case scenario that you get so lonely you become crazy.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's ever done that.
Well, I mean, I'd imagine that you can get so depressed and you can get lonely through depressed loneliness. So there are people who become
psychotic in their depression.
Yes.
Right. Hmm. I don't know that it's necessarily the loneliness of it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I do think the lonelier you are, the more likely you are to suicide. Mm-hmm. The more likely you are to not think there's any hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop trying to change it. That's really depressing.
Yeah.
We don't want to say that on Valentine's Day. I think one of the reasons we started talking about this with Valentine's Day is because all these couples are going out on dates.
You're about to see a lot of posts, people.
Everywhere you go, there's like, Valentine's Day special, 2-for-1, blah, blah, blah. And when you don't have another one, you feel really left out.
Yeah. 1-for-2 is going to be my special. I'll be eating 2 meals. yeah. Well, that's talking about partners. I had posted online about this. Someone said, can you be lonely with a partner? Or maybe they phrased it more so about with people around, but also about like the guilt you feel about feeling loneliness when you do have a partner. Mm-hmm. You know, when you are dating someone, you are married or whatever, it's like you almost don't want to like make them feel like it's their fault or they're not enough. You know, like when someone watches porn and then like their partner's like, wait, what, why do you need that? You know,
right?
So it's the same thing. It's like it can also be hard to admit you're lonely when you actually have people in your life because you don't want it to be an insult to them. You know,
well, I definitely think it's a symptom. Right, if you're in a relationship and you feel lonely, there's something missing.
So you're saying it could be connected to the relationship?
Oh, I definitely. I think that there's probably a lack of communication and maybe their partner isn't showing affection, isn't doing nice things 340 days out of the year.
A part of you's not feeling seen in some way.
Something's missing, yeah. 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 Well, and the same if you have a group of friends, but you always feel lonely with them. Maybe that's about you, or maybe it's about that they talk over you whenever you're talking, or they, you know, you start to tell a story and they interrupt you, or they just don't seem to value you. Mm. You have to question, right? Or is it something I'm just saying to myself, or do they not really value me?
Or it could be maybe you're not putting yourself out there enough, so you don't feel seen, right? But it's like maybe it's a lack of effort on your part of why you feel lonely.
So many options.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there was an answer, you'd be able to make it a pill and sell
this
it,
This is
right?
why I will be employed all my life.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Plenty of questions.
So broken true. People are your profession.
Yeah, prostitution might be the first profession, but therapist is going to be the last.
As long as there's forever. Prostitution, there will be therapists.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Which one really helps is the real
with loneliness?
Yeah. Which one really helps?
So I think when you use a prostitute, it probably makes you feel more lonely.
Oh, afterwards?
What do you think? I think like for the minute that the 2 minutes of activity, you feel pretty good. And then when you have to take your wallet out, it's like, now this really feels lousy.
Yeah.
I suspect. I haven't done it.
Yeah. Since the 80s.
You've never gone to the local massage parlor and seen if they offer
it? Did not have a happy ending. No. No.
But no, it's like, feeling lonely with a partner, feeling lonely with people in your life. Mm-hmm. It's like, it is a sign of something, whether it's the people, whether it's you, there is something wrong. I don't want to put that.
Not that we never feel lonely. Like, I think anybody could feel lonely at times, right? But if that's a theme, if that's a pretty steady thing, there's something else going on.
We're talking about like chronic type.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And what are ways people can combat that? You know, is it just purely becoming a part of a social group?
Yeah. So I would encourage people to find other people that they have things in common with.
Yeah. What if they don't like people? What if they're just annoyed?
Well, there
by
are
people
who do not like people.
Yeah.
And they're not lonely.
I know. And they're not lonely.
Right. They choose to not be yeah. around people.
I was about to say, like, can yeah. you not like people and still feel lonely? Like, you're like,
well,
I don't
want to
be with
I know,
them.
I know people like that as well. Yeah. I do know
that
people
don't
that
like people, but still feel get lonely. Lonely.
Yeah. But is.
What are they looking for?
I don't think they know.
That's
the thing is that they say that they don't like people because they don't ever feel comfortable around people. But from what I can read from them, just my own assumptions are that they feel awkward around people.
Mm-hmm.
They associate that awkwardness feeling to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it, it's that they blame the other person for their feeling of.
So hey, there is like social anxiety as a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Right. People who are anxious anytime they're around strangers or crowds or just other people. And the solution is to be around other people.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you almost,
you know, that's the solution, but you might need assistance. You might need like a professional to help you to do that because it's a lot of anxiety and it's so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It helps to have, you know, a cheerleader, yeah. somebody coaching you through it.
And you talk about blaming other people for a situation that almost brings back two incels. Where it's like yeah. now you're the association and you're blaming other people for where you are at.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm sure with incels, there are people who have treated them like shit. I mean, mm-hmm. it's no isolated incident. It probably is a reason why they feel so shut off from the world. But it's like at that point, are those people so far gone or does it take mercy from other people to like.
I think if you're blaming other people for your situation, you're going to be stuck in that situation.
Because that'll never stop.
Because you have to take responsibility for whatever parts are yours.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean other people didn't treat you badly, but
yeah.
why am I allowing that to dictate my life? I have to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so I have to take action. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of people who feel victimized and then they identify as the victim, which is mm-hmm. a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel yeah. victimized and then I become a survivor.
Yeah, because yeah. it's not right? like you're not saying don't acknowledge it. You're like act absolutely. Like everything's fine.
Right.
Yeah,
don't be delusional. Right. Don't do that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anybody who goes through their entire life and they're never victimized in some way.
And they
way.
Don't ever think of themselves as a victim.
Right. I don't yeah. know anybody like that. But, well, thinking of yourself as a victim is different, right? I don't know anybody that's yeah. not been victimized in some way
yeah.
Yeah.
in their whole life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like they've been wrong at some point.
Absolutely. But yeah. people who get stuck there, it's because they see themselves as a victim and they're waiting for other people to solve it.
Yep.
And that's yeah. not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? How much like, money can they throw at you for you to not feel like a victim if that's your mindset? Sometimes you don't have a lot. Sometimes you don't have as much as somebody else. Sometimes the world treats you badly.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean I deserve it. Or that I have to stay there.
Or mm-hmm. someone else is like, not someone else's fault, because it can be someone else's fault.
It can
but it's
be.
Like, but it's like, you're not going to let that stop you.
Right. I don't have to let that define me.
Yeah.
Right. And you do see people do that. You see it all the time that somehow they climb out of that yeah. and they change their life and they maybe, you know, become something amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe they become ordinary and that feels amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Some people, that's what they want after having such a chaotic life or upbringing. They just want
mm-hmm. just peace and quiet calm. And like, yeah. I just want a nice home where no one's shooting outside.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good thing to have.
That's why they moved to the middle of Nebraska.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there's, you know, I think that what happens for so many people that are born into those environments is that there's a lack of hope. And it's a lack of hope that's generational.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so they don't see any way out and they don't think that's for them. And mm-hmm. so they try to make the best where they are, you know? And the other thing you see in those real poverty stricken, criminally infested neighborhoods where there's generation after generation, you see young people have this really short life expectancy that may or may not be real. But they don't believe that they're going to live long. So they're going to live for now.
Yeah.
You know, and so they do dangerous things and they get involved in dangerous things because they don't think what's the difference? If I'm not going to make it to be 40, who cares? And so they can't even imagine that
And
like
and,
working hard to do what? So I die at 30? Like that's kind of the attitude.
That is why the military tries to recruit in poverty-stricken areas and rural areas.
Mm. Well, that because there's not a lot of options. So they're not going to college and they're not getting, you know, mommy and daddy like writing them a check to start a business. So they need a way to make a living. So they get more people to join that way. But also like we have to recruit young people because they think they're
invincible
yeah. and they're not afraid to do things. And we take advantage of that.
Speaking of younger people, I do want to talk about loneliness in the youth. It seems like kids more and more aren't socializing. Jimmy was telling me the statistic about how in the past 20 years, kids are socializing 50% less in person. Mm-hmm. So that's counting in person. They're not counting online interactions.
Right.
And I mean, we have adults are lonely right now. You know what I mean? Right. I don't know when these iPad kids get their...
What their life is going to be like.
What their life is going to be like.
They're going to have very built thumbs.
Yeah.
They're so fast.
Maybe they're going to be... Their brain has developed to understand that they don't need so much interaction in this digital age.
But that the depression that's in young people is so much higher than it used to be. Right. And the suicide rates are extremely high compared to what they used to be.
Yeah.
So well, there's a lot of evidence that that's harmful for our young people.
The lack of...
The lack of interaction and the lack of physical activity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you're not moving, you're not healthy. If you're not healthy, you're not happy.
All day, every day. First of all, you're hurting your eyes. You're hurting your brain. We know that it does damage to the brain.
Right. Because, I mean, obviously, it's like it's so easy to go down a rabbit hole of like technology is evil. But I more so just want to like talk about like how to deal with it because there's no getting rid of it at this point.
Exactly.
So it's like as scary
you're
as
right
like,
about that.
Yeah, as scary as it as it can be, and the downsides, it's more about like living with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how are we?
I think we have to limit computer time for the kids.
Yeah,
I think we have to
for adults too.
And for adults too. I think it's no good for anybody. I think we have to force our young people to do physical activities with other children.
Yes,
and you know, bring back the scouts and the. Sports and
just vet
art
the,
clubs
just vet
or
the,
whatever you know whatever things your kids are interested
more.
In.
Yeah, that's the thing is that people want to keep their kids at home because they it's dangerous.
Seems scary out there.
It's scary.
So many statistics.
Many statistics, but it's also always in the scouts. It's in church.
Well,
it's
like anybody who'd want that job.
It was
okay.
Coach.
So it's really like if you're a pedophile, you're going to go where the children are. It's not. Like, scouts didn't make pedophiles. Pedophiles were drawn there.
That's not what I've heard.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
What?
Actually,
I read a Reddit article. They invented pedophilia.
It was more the Catholic Church, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said Cub Scouts.
That's the thing.
Great place to hide, right? You don't have to get married and pretend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's
and
the thing.
You can
is
run
it
the choir.
A lot of
and it's easy to hide in the big hats, too.
Like, a lot of those priests were are victims themselves.
Maybe. Didn't we have this conversation on this podcast?
I feel like
podcast that, like, statistically, it's like 50% of pedophiles say they were abused, but when you hook them up to a lie detector test, it goes down to like.
No way! They just
no
like
way! We didn't
so,
talk
okay,
about this.
That's
so,
crazy. I've never heard that stat.
Yeah, no, hell no.
Yeah,
I love pedophiles.
So my theory is that not that they necessarily weren't abused, but a lie detector goes by what you believe. Right. It's your body reacting to I'm not telling the truth.
Yeah.
If I romanticized it and turned it into something that I enjoyed, I'm going to say, no, I wasn't abused, even if I was abused. I think maybe it's that.
So you're saying that things probably still were, but now they have a warped positive association with it.
Yeah. That's what
like
I
Stockholm
wonder.
Syndrome.
I wonder if that's
like,
because
now they're like, I'm not abused.
I enjoyed it.
Right. And a lot depends on how you ask the question. Statistically, there is evidence that does come out of polygraphs. You can't, it's not all or nothing though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not, that's why it's
but also
not
even,
permitted in court.
And if you're a sociopath, you could.
If you're a sociopath, you won't respond. Yeah. So you don't get nervous.
That's crazy.
So you'll pass.
Yeah.
You know? Guilty as anything can pass. Yeah. But anyway, so back to the pedophiles. No,
please.
I don't know. Where were we? With the kids and the
flight logs.
So I think, you know, if you're a parent and you're concerned about your kid's safety in the scouts or in, you know, sports or any other event,
become
part of it. That's the solution.
Your presence
is part of it. Be a coach, you know.
Not
know the
them.
Coaches. get to know that, you know, I'll coach this, you coach that. Now we have like an association with the neighbor and whatever. Like your kids are not, it's not healthier to keep them home and not have them do things because of your fear.
Yeah.
And there's a way around it. Be part of it. Be involved. Make sure your schools or your athletic associations or whatever are checking, doing background checks.
It's just, it's hard when a lot of people, I feel like a lot of parents put these, their kids in extracurricular things because they have three kids. So it's like, oh, maybe I can get one over here. And it's like the people who are overwhelmed. So maybe they can't be as involved, but that's such a great point. I didn't even think about that. We're talking so much about loneliness in kids. We don't even really think about how much parents can play a role. Like the parents who are, sure, maybe the kid would have been totally fine going to Cub Scouts, but the parent are like, oh, hell no, I'm not having my kids go there. So they're almost like, some parents could be like
perpetuating it,
limiting their kids' communities due to fear and everything like that. It's like, what roles are parents playing in the loneliness?
Well, fear culture in itself is a big thing that you see today. Like a lot of, I remember growing up, it was like, oh, don't go trick or treating because somebody's going to put poison and razor blades in your candy. Never once hear of anybody who experienced anything remotely close.
I think it was one time it happened, and then the whole country heard about it.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? You hear about a horror story.
Yeah.
Right? And then it feels more dangerous than it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? So until recently, it was much safer to fly than it was to drive in a car.
Yes.
I mean, now the doors are flying off, so that's kind of concerning. But
now that Tesla's in the mix.
But the bottom line was, when you really think about how many flights there are in a day across the world and how few times a door has flown off,
yeah,
it's really not unsafe, right? But we feel like it's unsafe. And so we confuse the tremendous outcome with the likelihood.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing, like, people are afraid to go to the mall because there's mall shootings.
Yeah, worst case scenario
but
thinking.
The malls are open like 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, all across this country. And there's how many malls just in this little state, right? How many shootings are there? There's not a lot of shootings, but it feels like it's riskier than it is.
We think of the worst example as the norm, as the standard. Yeah.
Or we just think it's more likely than it is.
Yeah.
Right? We think it's, you know, extremely dangerous, and it's really very rare.
I mean,
we get so drawn into this worst case scenario thinking because we don't really deal with, from the people that I interact with, most people don't really deal with dire situations on a regular basis. So if you don't ever encounter that situation that's going to require your adrenaline to keep you safe or alive, you're almost waiting for it to happen.
Shoot a drop.
And the anticipation of it becomes worse than if you actually go through the experience in some cases.
That's what you told me. You told me the other day, we were like on the road doing some gigs, and he's like, Connor, no one's coming for you. All these people in your head you think are like you're on edge because, you know, you lock the door because you think someone's going to come. You know what I mean? Like all these scenarios in your head, one, they're most likely not going to happen. And two, even if they do, all this worrying isn't actually going to change.
No, worrying does not change.
Isn't going to change how you even act in the situation.
No.
You know, because your
planning does.
Body will take over. Planning.
Planning does, which is different than worrying.
Yes, planning is different than just being anxious. Like, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen?
Like, you know.
Like, instead of locking the door, put a 9mm under the pillow.
Yeah, exactly. Let's be proactive about this. Come on. Let's be on the offense. But
take a self-defense class.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I took a ladies' kickboxing class, and that seemed to help. But
with the kickboxing or with the loneliness?
Both. Yeah, both. Those are really fun.
Both. There's a hands-on instructor.
Yeah, but, right?
But, we were talking about
the kids and the parents. And
The kids.
We need somebody to track for us.
It's like Inception.
Where you
like,
went
we, like,
off the road.
Tangential. Yeah.
Everybody's
back on the road.
Everybody's ADHD and nobody has Adderall.
I know. Yeah. All unmedicated over here. Oh, fear culture. Fear culture. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So talking about fear culture, we think of fear culture as being afraid of these worst examples. People are afraid to even try. People have a fear of even
failing.
Being perceived because especially now, like I outside of the real world, I just remember like seeing it, people became more self-conscious as commenters online. Like people stopped like the normal person stopped commenting as much because we're afraid of like how we're perceived online. And then now we extrapolate that, we take that into the real world. And now people are afraid to be perceived or even be bold or even be seen as making an effort. Like it's almost cool not to try, almost because everyone's a little bit afraid of being seen as trying.
Right. We have a really rough culture right now.
It is,
you know,
what it is.
I mean, you can be called a name or, and I don't mean like, you know, just any name, but you could be called a racist, for example, or, you know, just for the smallest thing that you did not really mean it the way it was heard. Or
when, especially now kids are politicized. I was thinking the other day, it's like, man, the worst thing I was called as a kid was gay. Now you get called a Zionist. You know, it's like, why are kids so well educated?
Then they have to go home and look up what the heck is a Zionist.
These kids have some bigger vernacular with their insults.
But I think that that's tough because you're right. Like people are so afraid to put themselves out there at all and be criticized or, or called names
because they think they're gonna get canceled or dragged online,
canceled or be laughed at, right?
Yeah,
because I know you guys like that, but most people
don't depends
like
on
that.
No, we like to be laughed with.
Sorry.
Different.
Being I don't know, certain times I'll take it, man.
funny. So, but so I think there's a whole lot of that, and then I just feel like being locked down did not help at all.
At all.
So the people who had those anxieties, now they're huge. Plus, you can add a whole nother layer of like, am I going to get sick because I went out?
Yeah.
Right? Do I need to wear a mask? No, you don't need to wear a mask.
But unless you're the one who is
sick. If you are sick, feel free to wear a mask.
But I think the
fear. Or stay home.
The fear of being perceived and like seeming like you're trying too hard, I almost think like it actually makes it more fun to be a bold person, like be the person who will say a joke in public in a grocery store line. Like, because like, now it becomes even more like, what? This person's like,
definitely it is. Just and it's so
shit.
Fun. Try
yeah.
it.
It is.
Oh,
it
I love
is
it.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I talk to everybody everywhere.
Yeah. But just like being bold anyway, I just remember like talking to a girl, like, are you autistic? Because you're not making eye contact. And she was like, she like laughed her ass off. She's like, I am. I cannot believe you just said that. It's like, because so many people are afraid that they think that even saying certain things about certain subjects is like
taboo
or like oh I can't say anything. So it's like the I think the people who poke the balloons are not only doing a service to people who are built up of tension, it's also showing people that
but it's if you do it without malice,
that's what people feel your heart.
People feel your heart because I
there's always room for kindness.
I was selling tickets for comedy shows for a long time, and there was a dude that was with his family, and he was in a wheelchair. And I just, you want to go to a comedy show? I'll give you a discount if you bring your own chair. The guy started laughing, and his family looked kind of tight for a second, and then once they saw him laughing, they were chill.
Okay.
They were with it. But the dude, he even commented, he was like, bro, like I appreciate you making that joke, because so many people
you normalized
treat me.
It.
Yeah.
Like,
ooh,
Like how many people,
like it's not happening.
Yeah,
how many
exactly.
people won't make eye contact with the guy in the wheelchair?
Exactly.
And now you're just making them not feel seen.
Exactly.
Right. It's
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And we do things like that.
So instead, just be like, yo, we be rolling the hating.
The wheels on the chair go.
Oh, hey, now you're being a dick.
Too far, Corey. Too far.
Sorry.
Too far. But it's
sorry.
Like, in terms of like, exactly. People feel you're still behind it. You know, they feel the intentions. Like,
of course.
We did that show at the Laugh House the other day, and it was like a gay dude in the front row, and like, I was like making fun of him, like, because I was talking about doing choir, and I was doing crowd work with him, and he's like, I was like, what song you sing? He's like, oh, I sing Mariah. I'm like, oh yeah, he's definitely gay, and he's with his family. I'm like. Like, I hope this isn't how they find out. But this man was like clearly, like, you know,
he's flamboyant.
Clearly
flamboyant.
Snapping a blunt.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, but then afterwards I was talking.
But then he went home and they were like, that's why you don't have a girlfriend.
That is why.
Oh.
But he was talking to me afterwards and he was saying, I was at a show recently and I almost rushed the stage and swung at a comic because he was making fun of me for being gay. He was like roasting me. But it's like, he could feel his malice. He could feel that, right. I don't actually like gay people, and right. that's how I'm getting this off right now. Where it's like, so it's like, you can joke about the same subject, but it's just mm-hmm. all about your approach. It's all about mm-hmm. your intention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's your feeling. You know?
Absolutely.
And I don't know. I mean, I just feel like the more we kind of stifle our humanity and like put, and again, it's not about, yeah, it's good to think before you speak for sure. But the more we stifle our humanity and we become afraid of ourselves mm-hmm. and hold back and like, oh, I don't want to do this and that. It's like, one, we become more lonely because we're distancing ourselves mm-hmm. from the world and we're holding ourselves back. But at the same time, then we're also like not encouraging people to be bold and to be fully themselves mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff is what forges connections and what mm-hmm. prevents loneliness
mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But how are people supposed to express their boldness and be outright and forthgoing when from the time that they're little kids we put them in a classroom and we tell them to sit at your desk, be mm-hmm. quiet, only speak by raising your hand, mm-hmm. do the assignments that I hand you, and then at the end of the day, I'll let you go home so your parents could ignore you.
Yeah, you're teaching obedience. Like,
yeah.
They're my pants. Why can't I pee in them?
You know, yeah, that's yeah, just right?
control.
Right
that's control.
That was just you, Connor. That
go
was
ahead, just Connor. What we're talking knock about. Yourself out.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in our school systems that are for the ease of the school and the teacher.
Rather than and the not, student themselves.
Not necessarily about educating or promoting. You know, I mean, if you think about it, how many kids struggle with just sitting still all day? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Or
you see him squirming that, the entire episode. Right?
Or kids that can't, you know, don't learn well from reading and doing worksheets, but give them a project to do and they're great, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be said about changing the way our schools work or offering options. I love the idea of offering, you know, school choice and,
yeah,
you know, being able to mm-hmm. go like, well, I, you know, I was not a great student. I know that's hard to believe, but I was a really good art student and I'm still a good artist. And so that was the class that I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
But it was such a small part of my week. It was like 1 hour a week.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, but put me in an environment where that's part of the day. Now I want to go to school.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
but so, the one size fits all approach.
Right. It's really hard. And it's, you know, we have so many children. It's hard to afford that. But if you separate the schools and this school has these specialties and that mm-hmm. school is for the really like college bound, you know.
So segregation is what you're. in favor of
segregation by yeah, learning style.
We had it wrong. It's not interest. Racial. We shouldn't make a racial segregation.
No. Learning mental style, segregation. Learning style and interest, I think, yeah. you know.
Satellite
and,
schools.
Then you satellite mm. schools and school choice, right? So my yeah. kid's really good at this. They're going to go there. And my other kid's good at that. And they're going to go. I think that we would get more bang for our buck and our kids would be happier and.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that hey, then they found their community. They found exactly. a group
exactly.
of people.
They already exactly. found somebody that's like them.
So, their tribe.
Yeah, their tribe. Yeah. Well, that's what we got to be careful with the whole tribalism. But again, it's like that's the most dangerous part. It's like you want to be part of a community, but what if like your community thinks they're better than every other community, and then you know. But I'm more so, I just want to before we get out of here, I just want to you know just ways we can combat loneliness, mm-hmm. you know. Because there's going to be a lot of people listening to this mm-hmm. who are feeling alone. And mm-hmm. and again, there's no like quick, easy fix to no, anything. There's not.
But they could pick up the phone and call a friend and say, want to go see a movie?
Or smoke a joint.
Smoke a joint and see a movie.
Whatever.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. Don't,
right?
don't yeah. be embarrassed to reach out because I feel like that's a lot of it. It's like, one, the fear of rejection because they might mm-hmm. say no. And that's possible.
Well, if you're home on Valentine's Day and you call your other friend who's home on Valentine's Day.
Call your friend you know's a loser. With the, love.
Just call all your friends and the one that answers the phone is also home.
Yeah.
And say, you know, this really sucks being home alone. Let's go do something.
Yeah.
Right?
Go do a Valentine's Day dinner.
A Valentine's Day.
And don't be afraid like, oh, I don't want to reach out because then that makes me look like I have nothing to do. It's like, yeah, you don't. And that's okay.
It's okay. That's the point, right? Reality. It's okay to not have a Valentine.
But they have meetup groups for this shit.
Yeah.
They do. They have websites just for that.
Yeah.
Where it's all kinds of things going on all the time.
Yeah. I was going to see the joke of the registry of sex offenders. That website.
There's that website too.
You always go back to the pedophile, dude.
I love them.
I think we, I think we probably need some private sessions. But if you are going to go meet somebody, check the registry too.
Yeah, that's a good. You know?
But if they're not on the registry, don't assume that they're safe.
But I did. God. Can't wait to see how people react to that one. Can't wait for that to be clipped out.
I love the comments we get.
Can't wait for that line specifically to be clipped out. But wait, hold on.
I think you're going to get comments. I love the pedophiles.
Replaying that quote in my head over and over again. But in terms of like, it's like just being not being afraid to admit that like, yeah, you are lonely. And the fact that it's like, if everybody's lonely, you know what I mean? That phrase, we're all alone together, right? Mm-hmm. It's why is there still a stigma if everybody's feeling it?
Is it nobody admits it?
Because it's
so you
weakness.
Think that it's just you.
People, it's weird. It's almost like it's more accepted to admit depression than loneliness, even though they're so similar. One feels a lot more like, oh, well, depression. It's like, oh, that's kind of got some like.
Well, so depression
grit to
became
it.
Like the.
Catch all term.
It became like the disorder to have if you were like the wealthy.
Yeah.
Right? You're
melancholy.
The wealthy. Yeah. I have some depression. I have to go talk to my therapist. You know, it became like a thing, like
the
a
Prozac
status.
Fad.
But why does lonely sound. Why does lonely just.
Because
maybe
lonely sounds like what you said before. That sounds like I'm a loser. Nobody likes me.
Lonely sounds more loserish than sad, than depressed.
Plus, we have this culture where it's. Encouraged to be a victim.
Uh-huh.
Right? If I'm depressed, it's because I'm so badly treated.
Oh,
if I'm
sympathy.
Lonely, it's because I'm
don't
somehow
have
inadequate.
To do with me.
So nobody wants I'm to take nobody inadequate. Wants to take their part in the thing that's affecting them and their ailment.
I think no who wants to admit they're inadequate or they feel inadequate.
It's at least
that's a
yeah,
terribly
you don't want
vulnerable
to. It's
space.
Yeah.
Right? We don't like to be vulnerable anyway.
Because we're taught to...
that's being vulnerable.
But we're taught to like project our strength.
You know, especially the way you do it, Petey.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
I give it all out there. I pour it all out there.
I just think, you know, that's what it comes down to. People don't like being vulnerable because someone can hurt you so easily.
Yeah. And it's like, if I admit that I'm lonely, you'll call me a loser. You know?
Right.
So I'm afraid of that.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, admitting is the first step. But it's like, just don't be afraid of how you're being perceived. You know, and that doesn't
or
mean don't be
chance.
Respectful and don't be conscious of other things.
Take
like,
a chance.
Don't
how
be
are you
going to
know how you're being perceived if you never take a chance?
And maybe that's why you feel lonely, because you're not taking chances. Mm-hmm. So combating loneliness, don't be afraid to put yourself out there, admitting it. Don't feel the stigma, because everyone's dealing with it in some way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're just a person who's brave enough to do something about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
join a club
and join
or take a class or do something fun.
Yeah,
you're always welcome at the YMCA.
A sip and paint.
Everyone's always yeah. welcome. Yeah. A sip and paint.
A nice sip and paint.
Sip
which
and paint.
I feel like is the female version of a sports bar. You know, I was trying to think of it. What's the female version of a sports bar?
A sports bar.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I guess maybe what's my version of a sports bar? I guess that's what I meant. Really, what's my version? Just Gilmore Girls on the TV.
Hooters.
I've never been to Hooters.
They have great wings.
You sound like a frat, bro. That's like the Playboy for the articles of culinary, you know.
But I think that's a wrap.